We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Don't miss the new docuseries, Black Twitter, A People's History from Onyx Collective and Hulu. Based on the Wired cover story by Jason Parham and directed by Princess Penny, executive producer of Insecure, Black Twitter, A People's History tells the story of how black voices found a new home online and blossomed into a force for change, while laying down some hilarious tweets along the way. If you were there for Meet Me in Temecula or Thanksgiving Clapback, you need to see this series. If you weren't there, time to dive in. Watch how Black Lives Matter grew and gained force because of the voices on Black Twitter, bringing these issues to the forefront like never before. From the memes to the movements, see how this powerful community shapes culture, society, and politics. Black Twitter, A People's History, is now streaming on Hulu.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests joining us this morning.
Yes, indeed.
We got Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah,
they so put Adam. True. I don't know if you go Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man, man. You know it's Pac-Man. Pac-Man
Jones,
oh, damn, Adam.
I don't know why they did that.
I never heard him call that in my life.
He's a podcaster now. You know, you just never know. And we got Brandon Marshall. What's up, guys?
What they do? You a podcaster now?
Man, I don't know where he get that intro.
He a little bit. Goodness gracious, Pac-Man Jones.
Now, Pac-Man, you can't curse on this show, though. Okay. I heard you on the radio in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, you better let you got to tell me that off the rip.
You
get what I'm saying?
You could curse.
Because, like, I'm like driving a car without a seatbelt sometimes, so. If I need to put my seatbelt on, just let
you
me know.
You could curse.
Yeah, we not live. You was live in Pittsburgh. That's
yeah,
why.
I was.
He called me right after talking about, man, they ain't tell me, bro. They cut me off. I said, they cut you off. He said, cut me off. And then they called me up and said, that was legendary.
Well, you know, that's a fine. It's like a $250,000 fine.
Depending on what word it is.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Depending on the word.
Well, it was eat.
You could say it there.
Oh, it was eat shit, pick, fuck pick. This is a horrible fucking town.
Eat shit, pick.
It's like three of them.
That's funny when you say stuff like that because you're talking to the fans, I'm sure, of the Steelers.
Yeah.
But when you go there, it's probably some dude that, you know, reps the city and like, man, why you say we a piece of shit town?
Well, you know what? Actually, I haven't met that person because everybody know where I stand at between Pittsburgh and West Virginia or Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. But every now and then, you're always going to have somebody that's got something to say. But, like, I have nothing against the people of Pittsburgh. I just don't like Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, when he asked me to go to the camp to see the Steelers, I'm like, yo, hell no. Like,
it
would be against everything and that I stand for to do that. That's just me personally.
But you said,
problem though.
You said you want to play for Mike Tomlin one time.
I said I would have played for Mike Tomlin, but okay. Like, you know, I don't have no problem with Mike Tomlin. Actually, Mike Tomlin is one of my good friends, I would say, as far as coaches, mm-hmm. coaching wise. He actually hired Blaine Stewart, who dad was my coach in West Virginia, who is also now the special teams coach in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But it just, it's I can't do that, bro. Like,
here's the problem, though. Like, we watch these games on Sunday. You see dudes beefing. But 95-97% of the time, when they walk in the locker room, it's over, right? They could be out there by the buses, families talking. You know, oh, yeah, that was nothing. So now he's 3 years out, done playing ball. He's still carrying this beef. Like, bro, that was football. We got paid to do that, bro.
Like, why I still hold the – I mean, yeah, I can't tell. Like, I hold these a long time. But what did they do to you that's that bad that you like
bro,
holding this?
It was just – It's not what they did to me. It's what that I didn't get to do to them. but like, just imagine this. Say like you. Where you from?
I'm from New York, Queens.
Queens, right? So let's just say, one of your buddies that you really didn't like, mm-hmm. was down in Brooklyn. He's like, yo, man, I want you to come throw your birthday party here instead of back in Queens. Want you come chill, meet everybody, you know, get you some interviews, da da da. What would you say? You like, bro? That shit don't add up.
Right.
Just don't add up. Like, and my point to Brandon is, why put myself in a situation where I might have to take the seatbelt off?
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I would not F with him, not the whole Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like, you just like, I'm not going to Brooklyn.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to Brooklyn.
Like, F Pittsburgh
house.
And the record label staff like, and mother effing crew.
If I'm not getting paid to go to Pittsburgh, you will not see Adam Jones. Well, Brandon loves the little shitty town, but like
I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm from Pittsburgh.
It's a little shitty town.
Oh, you from Pittsburgh? Yeah, oh, goddamn,
that's the only reason. But like, there's no reason for nobody to go there. You wouldn't go there unless you're getting paid.
So you telling
ain't
me that
shit to do there?
So what are you doing? What are you doing? Black and Yellow comes on in the club or on the radio?
Oh, you know, I ain't that personal now. I'm into music, so
okay.
The music play itself.
Or
I just ain't into nothing with Pittsburgh when it comes to sports. Chilling in Pittsburgh.
Gracious.
You know what I mean? That ain't Jones.
Is there any other city you don't mess with like that?
Nah, Pittsburgh might be the only one. What they say? That's not P.
Nah, man.
Hey, I will say though, Pac-Man, you don't get enough credit for how you grown. Because there was a time when you was in the news all the time for something. Like, so why you feel like people only, they whisper about your success but want to scream your failures?
You know, because certain shit sells. And at the time when I was, if media would have been what it is today,
mm-hmm.
I would have came out and talked about every situation. Just because it's more open now. Now that
it's fair.
We have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
When
Do
you I was, envy that a little bit? The fact that players can say what's on their mind and it gets out fast and
no,
they got to be polite and nice?
I actually like it. Cause I'm one of those guys, like even with my wife, we have like physical frustration. Like, get your shit off your chest, you know what I mean? And after 30 minutes, we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want you bullshitting all day and being mad all day because you wanted to tell me something 30 minutes ago about
mm-hmm.
the way I said something.
Does that
make sense? But if I had this media what they have right now, I would have had a chance to speak about everything. You gotta realize when we was up under the shield, they was hiding us. It's like, yo, you can't tweet this. Yo, you can't say nothing after the game. If you say this, you're getting fined.
Mm-hmm.
And our fines was really big. Mm-hmm. Like, you talking about them fines that they find on radio?
Mm-hmm.
They find them saying 250s in the locker room, but it come out of my check. You mm-hmm. get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When I choose to go against the rules or say something
mm-hmm.
Crazy that might catch a clip on all of the new channels. Actually, when I cussed out Jerry Porter, for the playoffs game,
mm-hmm.
I got fined like $150 for that.
Damn.
Like for that rant. And they end up giving me half of it back afterwards because it was just insane that he was on the field. But like, yeah, if I could have really just went on my podcast or went on our platform right after the game, oh my
right.
God.
Right.
Probably had 2-3 million people,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, watching or subscribing just mm-hmm. from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference from these younger guys that have the platform these days. People watching it, you know what I mean? So if you saying the right thing at the right time, you can go and get you 300-400 people to watch what mm-hmm. you say. It's mm-hmm. a little bit more easier.
Brandon, expound on that. Why is it important for athletes to have control of their own narratives like y'all do now?
Because it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
point blank period. You know, you got to think about how we get paid is because of the TV deals, mm-hmm. right? You see these, they just expanded the college football playoffs from 8 to 12. Mm-hmm. That's a difference in $2 billion.
Damn.
Right? So it's all about eyeballs. So Pac, what he talking about, you can go out there and some of these young guys in high school, college, if they're in the right place at the right time, say the right thing, do the right thing, they could get to 1 million followers. They can get to 1 million subscribers. You know, you guys know this in the game, podcasting or radio. That's what it's all about. Now, mm-hmm. how do you monetize that platform? How do you monetize those followers? So we don't need to go to ESPN anymore. We don't need to go to FS1 anymore. We got our own platform. We got our own distribution. It's fucking YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's Instagram. It's TikTok, right? So now it's about, do you have the foundation? Do you understand the best business practices to build on top of that? I recommend every guy out there start their own YouTube channel. I recommend every guy out there don't take the Nike deal if they not offering millions of dollars, because they not. There's only a handful of basketball players really making money off the field, off the court. There's only a handful of football players making millions of dollars off the field. So go start your own brand, your own platform. You have a moment in the game. You got guys making $300,000 after a game on a T-shirt.
Damn.
Now, that's real. Yeah, like, Dez Bryant made probably over $10 million on his X, throw up the X. Yeah. Julian Edelman playing in with the Patriots made over $10 million with his T-shirt line, right? Why would you go take that $100,000 Nike deal?
That's real. That's
I was going to ask, you know, the game has changed so much since you guys play football. Do you look at the game as a lot softer now?
What?
Do you think you can play in that game?
This shit's so soft now. Like, we was talking the other day. I don't know who I was talking to, but like, only thing that you're allowed to do right now, I think if we was on the show, is cut block.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We don't even know what that is. What is cut block?
So like, you run it to me. You Darrell Revis.
Okay,
you know, I'm wide receiver and I come cut you in your knees, just dive in your knees.
Oh, I thought that was illegal.
No. So the offense can do it.
Certain situations.
Oh. Certain situations. So okay. Say if it's a correct toss, which is a sweep, like toss it to the running back. Big ass tackle that come around and say my little ass is coming up, he can go and cut me. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's probably the only thing that haven't changed. But everything else, shit, you can't even hit a motherfucker. You got to make sure you watching how
I
you
like
hit
it.
Him.
And that makes you say you like it, but you know you coming, somebody coming at you full steam ahead, right? And now he got to watch how he hits you. So he got to make sure he doesn't hit you in a certain way where you could be going down, he could be going down. But if it's helmet to helmet, then he get a penalty. He get a fine.
Yeah, I don't like it because, first of all, it's making me think too much. And when you start thinking, you get hurt. You start ducking your head. You start putting your head in different places. Brandon's an offensive guy. He don't like getting hit. Me, I like to wake folks up. You know what I'm saying? If I catch you not looking, I can get your ass. I'm going to get you. You get what I'm saying? So I like it the old school way. I don't like the personal fouls. If he looked like he hit him hard, he already thrown out the game. Like, it's got to get to a certain point where we get some consistency of it so it can look right. It don't even look right now.
And you can't celebrate anymore, right? You celebrate, you get a flag.
No, it's different now. With the celebration, it used to be like that, but now because they're embracing us, they're embracing our flair, our fashion, mm-hmm. you know, all of that stuff. They're letting us do more on the field. So they doing more there, but to his point, like, I mean, to what you guys were talking about earlier, I like it, man, because of health. Like, that's why I like it. You know what I'm saying? I had a situation where I went to crack back a guy and I hit him so hard, he was out for a couple of weeks. And after that, and that was my second year in the league, I played 13 years. After that, I said, I don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. As long as I get in position, make the block, my guy get where he needs to go, I get what I need out of it. I ain't going to be hurt. He ain't going to be hurt. I'm good, right? Because now when you see some of these dudes, like, he lucky. He played 13 years, too. He lucky how he walking around. He can still play. But some of these dudes walking around, they look terrible. They in bad shape, man. So I think the game is getting better because they're protecting certain parts of the game when it comes to the physical.
And Pac-Man, you played for a long time.
I broke my neck, though. I had C3, C4. I'm paralyzed. So... like, I got to...
See, think about that. That's my point. And when they say, let's take the head out of the game, that's basically what they're talking about.
Can't do that, bro. You got to...
But see, that's old school thinking, and that's how we came up, is like, that's how you play the game. But I'm just wondering...
Like, die out there.
Yeah, you know, but some people just don't like change. He just don't like change.
I don't mind change, but the game should be you played at a neck. High intense level. Like it's
talk to us about that about experience this, when you land like, on the field with your neck broken.
It was horrible. It was horrible. I'm sitting there screaming like, "Fuck, yo!" They're like, "Bro, what the hell wrong?" I'm like, "Bro, I cannot move. Help!" And they thought I was joking. I wasn't joking. Mm-hmm. Fucking muff the punt. And James Harrison, y'all know how big
hell
he is.
Hell yeah.
That motherfucker hit me on the top of my head. Now, that was a dirty play. That's why I don't like Pittsburgh.
So it's James Harrison's fault.
But when I got hit on the top of my head, I was down for like 6 minutes. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh shit, I can't feel nothing. Looking up, my boy played with Pittsburgh, who went to high school with me, Kieran Fox. Love him to death. Saved my life, actually. And he's like, "Pat, you better fair catch the ball, boy. We're going to kill you out here." And I'm looking up. I'm still paralyzed. I said, "Man, fuck you. Help!" And I'm screaming. He's like, "Man, are you hurt for real?" I'm like, "Yeah, fool." Yeah, it's a funny story if he tell it. So anyway, I end up getting off the field and getting myself together. Had the surgery and all of that stuff. But
yeah. You're good now.
But, like, either you for the game or you're not for the game. You get what I'm saying? Like, so much other stuff that you can do to get hurt. Like this shit he talking about, it's more people that's walking down the street that's getting hit with bullets and cars and everything. So me personally, I don't live my life with saying, all right, we got to take away all the unnecessary hitting so the game can be safer. No, the game still is going to be what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You can't control certain ways people get hit. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, like, it wasn't James Harrison's fault because I muffed the punt and he hit me and I'm paralyzed. What was he supposed to do? Mm-hmm. It been the same situation, it would been somebody else. I would have towed their ass up too. Hey man, sorry, hope you're all right.
You're how did homie save your life? You said he saved your life.
Oh, well, Fox was one of my boys. His parents like adopted me when I was young. Mm-hmm. Kieran Fox, we went to the same high school together. Mm-hmm. He ended up being drafted third round by Pittsburgh, got a Super Bowl ring. But, like, that's my boy, like, because, mm-hmm. You know, we was in the projects. His parents was pretty much well off, you know. They had about 40 acres, and they would come get me. And they really, Fox didn't really show me something different beside the hood. You know?
Right.
It's always, that's what I be trying to do now as far as kids in the hood. Let me get y'all out of here and show y'all something different. Because if you never get out of here and see nothing different, the mindset is going to keep your ass right here.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That's right. And that was the best thing that they could have did for me. Hey, man, let me get you out of here and show you something else. Shit, I ain't know nothing else. I ain't never been nowhere. I travel playing football, basketball. You know what I mean? Go from the projects, the school, to Florida, Alabama, just playing sports. But as far as seeing different things, shit, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, man. My first time going to Lenox Mall, mm-hmm. is when I was 21 years old. I ain't never even knew nothing about Lenox. You know what I mean? I'm a West Side kid. I'm over there at Greenbrier Mall, West End. Mm-hmm. Lenox, I ain't never heard shit about no Lenox. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I ain't learned about Lenox till I was almost rich.
Right.
Like, I came home, bro. The end of my freshman year, my grandma was sick. And Earl Calloway, which is a kid who played with me, dad had just got a church that was by Lenox Mall. Mm-hmm. So I go from, first of all, shit, we ain't have no car. I ain't have no car at the time. So it's like 45 minutes across the way. I get over there, I'm like in heaven, like, bro, is this what money really look like? Mm-hmm. Like, because that was my first time seeing, damn, valet parking.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. You know what I mean? Sacks. Bro, I ain't know no damn Saks Fifth was. You know, I know what Foot Locker.
Macy's.
Mm. Yeah, but I went, and I was fresh. Best dress and all that, but I knew how to put shit together that I could put together. Mm. Now, shoes, I'm always going to have the best shoes. But, like, as far as, what do they call these stores?
Designer?
The designer stores, yeah. Mm-hmm. the Lulus and all of these. Man, I had no idea of none of that. None of it.
So mm-hmm. it just opened your mind to what's possible. Made you want more.
Yeah, it made me want more. Yeah. Like, I'm like, God damn.
It's crazy because
this is what I want right here. This is what I want.
Yeah, but it's crazy because when you think about some of our cities, right? Like even Chicago, when I was playing for the Bears, there's some people live on the south side of Chicago, mm-hmm. never been downtown.
Right.
Right? That shit's real. And it's about, you know, exposure leads to expansion. you know, when you start getting those certain environments, it does open up your brain and open up your mind and seeing what's real out there. That's why, I mean, people should always travel. But now you got social media, mm-hmm. right? Social media, like, damn, that person's doing that. I want to see that. I want to do that. But that's real, though. Some people never even travel 5 miles to the other side of town.
That's right.
I was going to ask, you know, with both of you playing football, would you advise your family members, your young kids, to play football? Because a lot of people say, nah, I would never advise it.
Yeah. This generation, I got nephews in high school right now. This is the last generation that's playing football.
Really?
Right, yeah. Just 2 weeks ago, opening night, high school football just started. Fourth quarter, game on the line. They put him back there. He's him now. He's nice. Put him back there, kickoff return, boom. He takes off down the middle. Somebody clean his clock, boom. Helmet come flying off, mouth bleeding, blood all over the place. Mm. He out. Right? And look, I played the game violent. Like, so I'm sitting up here sounding soft compared to Pat.
I was just finna say, good I played, God Almighty.
I'm soft now, though. But, like, you got to think about that. Like, I'm out there with damn near tears in my eye. Like, this is damn near my son. Mm-hmm. Right? And it just hits a little differently because you only get one brain.
Right.
You understand? So, for me, that's the last generation. But it was already in their blood. They was in the dormitories with me when I was one. I mean, when they was one, right? So, like, I couldn't stop that. But my son, he giving me hell right now. He's 7. I got twins. Then I got a 3-year-old. And the 3-year-old's a boy. And then I got the boy-girl twin. And the 7-year-old, he giving me hell. He want to play. But I'm like, son, man, we can play tennis, man. We can play other things. We can play basketball. But, you know, we going to see how that goes.
It's crazy. My son is the same, my youngest son. And I wouldn't let him play tackle this year. I let him play flag, though. I said, you play flag. Let's see how you like it. And then we'll go from there. Now, what about you, Pat-Man?
Oh, mine jumping off the porch. Mine. And my hustable kids. Like, but my kids, so, of course, everybody know about Chris, my best friend who passed away.
No, everybody don't know. You got to tell them.
Well, I adopted my best friend's kids, which is little Chris, DeMarcus, and Saini, mm-hmm. which is a 8th grader, freshman. The freshman is the number one player in the country in football, wide receiver. And then my niece, wide receiver, 6'4", West Claremont, mm-hmm. Cincinnati.
Okay,
he the real deal. Like yeah. How B was saying, mm-hmm. He got it.
And you adopted all three of them. That's very honorable, man.
Yeah, my niece, she got all the offers. She played basketball too. Mm-hmm. But my youngest son is 4, little Junie. This little joker. Like, it's no way I could tell him, like, no, you can't play. And I did the same thing. I'm trying to, like, just slowly but surely, mm-hmm. like, all right, bro, go and get the green light with tackle football. Last year, 3 played flag. This year, I'm going to put him at flag again. And then next year, I'll let him play tackle. And then I got two daughters. My oldest daughter is in Atlanta. She's a track star. And my youngest daughter is here with me. But, yeah, man.
But I let my daughter play flag, too, though. My daughters play flag. They love it.
Yeah, yeah. My niece play flag.
They love it. They play with the boys. They love it. They fast, quick. It just.
There ain't no money in that for them.
But they can get. No, there is, though. Scholarship.
Scholarship, okay.
They taking flag football serious now.
For real?
Yeah.
In college?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
What, you really?
My niece started playing last year. I said, keep going. Yeah, it's going to go to school for free. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, bro. You can get a scholarship playing flag football. You got to think about power.
You're looking at him like,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is that why you got into the mental health space so heavy, Brandon? Because, you know, you're talking about the physical aspects of football, but, you know, now we see that CTE clearly had effect, too. Is that what got you into it?
No, I think football got me there faster and exposed it faster, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us, I say the ideology behind what we go through is environmental, is upbringing. Mm-hmm. You know, like the shit that I was doing and saying, you go back to my neighborhood, my grandma act like that. My aunts act like that. Yeah. The neighbors act like that, right? So it's like you're a product of your environment. There's certain things out there, some people living with anxiety or depression, that, you know, those are real things, you know, and everybody's case is different. But for me, when you start making mistakes at that level, and now you got Breakfast Club talking about you, you're on ESPN, it does something to you when you're sitting there literally watching that. Mm-hmm. You could be around people and they talking about you. They got your mug shot up there, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So now you start looking yourself in the mirror just a little bit differently, because now you got, you know, millions of dollars on the line. You got, you know, your legacy on the line. You got your own goals on the line. So what you going to do? Some mm-hmm. dudes look in the mirror and they say, you know what, I'm going to continue going down the same path, and they ask, don't got nothing, and it's over. Some dudes say, you know what, I want to figure this out. So for me, I wanted to figure it out for so many different reasons. In the league, and it's, and we were talking about this a little earlier, like there's so many things that we have available to us, but they made me go to get help and counseling,
oh,
right?
That's good.
But it was like 4 or 5 years, though. 4 or 5 years, one time I was talking to 4 or 5 different people that was like, just got a DUI. And they're like, all right, you got to talk to this substance abuse person. So now I'm talking to this person once a week. Then they talking to me, had me talking to this damn person. Mm-hmm. You already know how it is.
But
then
I just get serious, though.
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't. So the first 4 years, I didn't. And then when I got to the Miami Dolphins, right, and then I went to Ricky Williams, I was like, damn, Rick. I was like, because I couldn't control, you know, like how I talked. Like, you know, whatever I felt, I said. Right, fucking coach says something, do something dumb. Like, the fuck we doing? So Ricky Williams, he just came out with the documentary 30 for 30. Mm-hmm. Right, so as soon as I got traded there, signed this 4-year extension, $47 million deal. Right, as soon as I touched down to Miami, he had this whole premiere. And so we all go there, and he's talking about mental health. Right, this is a dude that walked away from millions of dollars and went and lived in a tent in Australia. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Right? And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing him now, and he's a totally different cat. So you're watching this documentary, then you're seeing who Ricky Williams is today. Mm-hmm. Right? Fast forward to the season. Terrible season. And I just couldn't control. I come in, I'm like, yo, you know, I ain't going to say nothing. I know coach going to be on something terrible, some bullshit. Let me not say nothing. And then I would just, boom, say something. So I went to Rick one day. I was like, damn, Rick. I was like, do you think I'm bipolar or something? You're right, because I'm thinking about his documentary. Mm-hmm. He said, no, B, I don't think you bipolar. I just think you say the things that we all want to say but shouldn't say. So I was like, shit, okay. So I was like, who's that doc? That Dr. Gunderson, like, you recommend I go talk to him? He's like, I don't know, man. I just think, you know, you just say the things that we all want to say and shouldn't say. So that offseason, I end up going to McLean Hospital in Waltham, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And I sat down, and they walked me through. I did a clinical evaluation, a neurological evaluation. I was in my mentalization therapy. So I was up there for 3 months in an outpatient program. And, you know.
Damn, you was outpatient for 3 months?
Yeah, I was outpatient.
So they let you stay at the hotel?
No, I had my own apartment. I moved my whole team up there, everything.
They didn't let me do that.
Yeah. So I get there, and right off top, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. The best way to describe it as emotional disorder. Mm-hmm. Can you regulate your emotions? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you cope with what's going on? Mm-hmm. Do you have the skills and tools? So what happens is you go in these programs. Some people inpatient, some people need medicine, some people outpatient, some people is a mixture of both. For me, I was up there for 3 months in an outpatient program. I was in dialectical behavior therapy. Dialectical behavior therapy is this group therapy that teaches you the skills and tools to be able to cope. Some people, and a lot of us, and that's what I mean by environmental, mm-hmm. fucking shit's going on outside. Can I look at you and say, bro, you hurt my feelings? Mm-hmm. Can I look at you and say, man, like, let me just breathe. Give me a second. Let me go on the walk, and then I'm going to come back, and we can pick this up. No, what we do, mm-hmm. we just respond, right? That's right. We react. Let me say that, not respond. We react, right? So that's what dialectical behavior therapy teaches. Then there's mentalization therapy. A lot of us is black and white. We just stuck in our ways. So it helps you with your rationale, help you process things. Then you got cognitive behavior therapy.
Yep.
Then you got self-assessment. Self-assessment is just a group therapy where you sit around and just talk. Mm-hmm. A lot of us don't even talk. Do you know how powerful that is, just talking, mm-hmm. looking at you and saying, this was going on in my life, right? That was probably the most profound thing I've ever gone through. Forget mentalization therapy, cognitive behavior therapy, or DBT. It was just sitting in a self-assessment, listening to people talk.
Mm-hmm. I love CBT. All right. What about you, Pac-Man?
I went through all of that Brandon went through too.
mine
was a little different. My whole thing was the bipolar thing, and my mom was taking medicine. This is the fucking fucked up part about it. My mom have been taking bipolar medicine for the last 15 years, I think. Mm-hmm. It never told me.
Same here, my dad. The same way.
Bro, I'm up at McLean Hospital. And they say I'm bipolar. I say, I ain't, they asked me, anybody in my family bipolar? I'm like, nah, ain't nobody bipolar. My mom's like, yeah, I've been taking this medicine since you was in the 7th, 6th grade. I'm like, bro, why did you not have the audacity to fucking tell me this? Probably half of my life would have been a lot better if I
knew that,
I already fucked up.
Yeah. But if I knew that I had something wrong and I could grab it, you know what I mean?
Right.
And get it under control, I think that I would have been 10 times better than what I am right now because, all right, I know I have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know what triggers it, you know what I mean? But if you don't know that, man, it's a lot of people that's from the hood and the inner city that parents are taking different meds and they're not telling their kids what they're taking.
Because they're embarrassed.
Or they've been diagnosed before and never tell their kids they've been diagnosed.
If I can say anything to any parent, man, be honest with your kids. Open dialogue of any mental or any health diagnosis or situations that you have because it might not sound like a big thing, but shit lingers down. It's like almost 85%. If your parents got it, you're gonna have it.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I think it starts with. I mean, there's a stigma around mental health, right? Mm-hmm. So first, they don't feel comfortable sharing it with their children because they haven't accepted it first, right? Damn, you talking about I'm borderline, I'm bipolar, I'm living with anxiety or depression. If I tell you, if I tell the world, like they gonna look down on me. Right. So, like, I think it starts first. I think there are some parents out there that need to disclose that and talk about those things. But I think it really, really where the stigma lies is people accepting that there's 320 million Americans, give or take a few, and fucking almost 120 is living with something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you don't even have to have a diagnosis to actually have your life be a living hell. Like, you could just be dealing with stress. You could be just dealing with marital challenges. You could be dealing with just work problems. You just got laid off. What are you going to do? How are you going to cope with that?
That's right.
I know you fellas got to go, so we got to ask a couple of questions. Football season this year. Who you think is going to take it this year?
Cowboys, baby.
What? Cowboys.
He a Cowboy fan. He say that every year. I've been here 13 years.
I'm consistent. But do you really think they're going to beat the Eagles?
No.
Hell no.
That's like me saying the Giants.
I think the Eagles going to go to the Super Bowl. I think the Eagles.
Damn, the Super Bowl?
I think the Eagles.
What about the Bills? People have been saying the Bills.
Eagles do look good, though.
I think the Bills lose to my Bengals.
Mm.
So you say, your pick is the Eagles, Bengals, Super Bowl?
Eagles, Bengals, Super Bowl.
Okay, okay.
What do you say, Brandon?
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. Denver Broncos.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with them boys, and then I'm gonna go with the Rams to go back. But I really want Todd Bowles, black head coach of the Jets for a while when I was playing. I want him to get his with Tom Brady, but I think it's gonna be the Rams and it's gonna be the Broncos.
What do you think of Brady's decision to come back after retiring? Think he should have left? Think it should have been a wrap?
You think it's going to be like the Jordan when Jordan came back?
We're in the 45.
I want to see.
He should have left after the seventh ring.
Yeah. He should have left.
That's it. Go out on top.
Yeah, I felt like it was impulsive. Mm-hmm. Felt like it was something deeper. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always said, I'm going to play till I'm 45 or this age or whatever.
And you know what it really was, bro.
I know what it is.
He got home. He was around. Sell ass. Oh, fuck this. I got to get my ass back to work, boy. And we got that work. He had to go back. Oh, hell no. She doing too much. I'm going to be gone for 11 days.
With an I Am Athlete live.
Oh, y'all got a tour this weekend, right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Talk to him, B.
No, I mean, I think this is the first time. I mean, we trying to get in y'all lane, and you know, what you guys been doing is legendary, right? Like, you guys, you know, have this amazing place and culture, and, you know, now you're seeing athletes do it more, and I think the next step for us is to connect with our audience. So going live is special. How many times do we get texts and tweets where it's like, yo, I wish I was there. Can I come pull up on the show,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is our opportunity to do it. September 10th, we're going to make an announcement. We got a couple local big-time athletes coming and, you know, and artists, so it's going to be cool.
Where is it?
It's at City Winery.
Okay.
So it's at City Winery. You go to citywinery.com. You go to our I Am Athlete Instagram page, hit the link, and everything is right there where you can get your seat.
Yeah, we only got
wine,
about 20
food,
more tickets
all of that.
Now.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be nice.
Y'all got to come back, man, and build
Absolutely.
Some more when y'all got some more time.
Yeah, whenever y'all in town, come on up.
For sure.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
Y'all.
All right, it's Brandon Marshall. It's Pac-Man Jones. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.